In Geneva this week, more than 150 countries are working on the first ever global treaty on tobacco. The so-called Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, organized by the World Health Organization, would limit advertising, promotion, and sponsorship of tobacco products in all countries. It would also call for compensation for the millions of people who've been harmed by tobacco. There is strong support from countries who've begun to control tobacco, but some delegates fear the treaty will be weakened by the United States and the multinational tobacco industry. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
As more and more stringent regulations are being imposed on tobacco, the market for tobacco, primarily cigarettes, is shrinking in the United States and Europe, even among die-hard consumers.
Believe it or not, the smoking rates in France are actually coming down. They're coming down from a very high level and rather slowly.
Derek Yack is Executive Director for Chronic Diseases at the World Health Organization.
Only last month, the French government increased taxes by 15%. And I could give you examples across the world of how the level of tobacco control activity has dramatically increased in the last 2-3 years.
So the industry has had to set its sights elsewhere.
In many of the developing parts of the world, we are seeing steady increases in consumption. It started in men, but now the gap between men and women is closing. And the reason for all of this must be due to the massive level of marketing, the massive availability now of particularly multinational tobacco products, and the aggressiveness with which they are being pushed in markets where there's an extremely weak regulatory environment.
85% of the 1.3 billion smokers in the world are in developing countries. That's led to a spiraling increase in deaths from cancer, emphysema, and other tobacco-related illnesses. The Framework Convention on Tobacco Control would give smaller, poorer countries more muscle to go up against multinational tobacco companies. As the final round of negotiations got underway in Geneva this week, the main sticking point was over the call for a complete ban on tobacco advertising that is supported by a majority of the countries. Catherine Mulvey of InFact, an official observer at the negotiations, says the text has been watered down.
It doesn't call for a ban on tobacco advertising, promotion, and sponsorship. It makes that optional. It really only suggests that countries restrict tobacco advertising, promotion, and sponsorship and has no timelines for eliminating those aggressive marketing practices.
This is the language and the position taken by the Japanese government, which owns Japan Tobacco, and by the U.S., which is represented at the negotiations by Assistant Surgeon General Kenneth Bernard.
We can't have a complete ban on advertising. It's First Amendment.
Bernard says a treaty that banned advertising would violate protections of free speech under the U.S. Constitution.
If a country wants to ban advertising in their country, that's fine. We have no objection and would not object as long as they ban all advertising for all products, both imported and domestic. I think countries need to look very carefully at their own domestic agendas and push some of the good examples that we've set in the United States.
That mirrors the position of the international tobacco industry as well, which, according to Mark Berlind of Philip Morris, is willing to live with international restrictions that are similar to those that have already been imposed in the United States.
Tobacco billboards have been completely eliminated. There's no ads anymore in buses or subways or other transit systems. There's no more hats or t-shirts that have tobacco brand imagery. So there's a whole series of measures that have been undertaken here that reduce the visibility of tobacco advertising and pretty much limits it to venues where it's going to be adult smokers that see it.
But in fact, Mulvey and others have found that there are subtle but profound nuances in what the industry means by marketing just to adults.
The experience of many countries has been that corporations like Philip Morris, which have tremendous resources, are able to find loopholes in legislation if it's less than a comprehensive ban. So, you know, an image like the Marlboro Man, which was described by its own creator as the right image to capture the youth market's fancy, might not be eliminated on a treaty that only called for restrictions.
Other unresolved treaty questions are whether policies that promote public health, such as tariffs or taxes that might deter smoking, should be given primacy over trade questions. The U.S. position is, as long as there's no discrimination between domestic and imported products. Patricia Lambert, the delegate from South Africa, which is part of a bloc of 46 African countries, says the U.S. should do everything in its power to back stronger controls on the industry.
Constitutions can be changed. My feeling is that we need the support for developing countries that need this convention in order to protect their people and promote public health.
The big worry is that if a consensus can't be reached, the United States won't ratify the treaty. And as with past treaties, the Landmine Treaty, the Kyoto Climate Treaty, and the International Criminal Court Statute will have no obligation to honor it. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Washington.